Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Baugh, who's managing director with Stifel Nicolaus. John, you doing okay?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Kemp.
I wasn't able to hook up with you at the end of the third quarter when all these results were being reported. Obviously, everything was good in our business, and we can talk a little bit about that. But let's get started first, just from an overall perspective. You know, we've watched this week, the stock market was cooling off a little bit, fell down below 16,000. It's back up over it today with some news points. But generally, step back for a minute. A lot of people think 16,000 might be a little overheated. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, everybody's got a market opinion, and I suppose I could weigh in, but it's probably not worth rubbing two nickels together. I guess I'd start out by saying, Kemp, that the market rally here has been driven to some large extent by the policies of the Federal Reserve, which have been to essentially try to do two things after the collapse of 08 and 09, which is prop up the housing market and then prop up the stock market and or encourage risk-taking. So one of the ways you encourage risk-taking is to drive interest rates to nothing so that the conservative posture of holding cash yields you nothing, and you're encouraged to buy high-yield bonds or buy stocks or whatever, and that's why there's so much focus around the day-to-day movement of the stock market on whether the Federal Reserve Bank is going to taper or not taper the mortgaged bond buyback program they instituted several years ago, which is an unprecedented level of stimulus, and it's really driven the market higher. And the fear, of course, is that if they take that punch bowl away, the market could collapse even. That's the fear. Now, Janet Yellen is coming in as the new Fed Reserve chairman, and she's every bit the dove, if not more dovish, than Bernanke, which means she's inclined to keep this punch bowl there as long as she thinks she needs to. There's a huge debate, Kemp, on whether this is ultimately good or bad for our economy and our stock market. But it really is another don't fight the Fed. And if the Fed's going to stimulate, equities and high-yield bonds and things are going to perform well. But it remains to be seen what happens when they take that away. And there's certainly a lot of risk, in my view, in the market, in that the overall economy is weak. And as valuations get higher and higher, you know, we need that earnings growth to support the valuations. And we may be in jeopardy of losing that if the Fed takes away its punch bowl.
Yeah. And I guess you saw today the news around employment. It said 7%, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The market today, at least, is going up on good news, which kind of has been the reverse you want to see. If you want to see the Fed continue to stimulate, you actually want to see bad economic news. But the market was weak, as you said, the last 4 or 5 days heading in, so a little hard to read too much in today's reaction to the market.
And some of this is seasonal. I mean, let's got to admit, this is the holiday time, you know.
December is, interestingly, one of the best months of overall stock performance of any month of the calendar year.
Yeah.
So, yes, there could be a little bit of that going on as well.
Yeah. You know, if you bought just to ride with the index of the Dow Jones Industrial, it's up 23% this year. I mean, you know, people had gotten desensitized to the market over the last decade, and some were, you know, going into real estate and doing other things because just couldn't make it.
Well,
in the market.
You know, the returns in the market up through 2 years ago were flat to negative for the prior decade.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the 0102.com blow up cost a lot of people a lot of money, and the 08-09 recession was scary. And it caused a lot of people to move out of equities. I have so many friends who were, I'll never buy stocks again. Wall Street's crooked. Of course, that was the time to buy.
Yeah.
You know, now they're jumping in. The internet IPOs are getting hot again. You know, I don't want to say housing's bubbling again, but it's certainly going up fairly rapidly in some parts of the country. So, you know, here we go again.
Yeah. All right, well, let's focus on flooring for a minute. You don't have it in front of you, but you'll get it in a few days. The December issue of Floor Focus, I've got a little green table, and I'm pointing out how much investment's being made, capital X investment in the flooring industry. It's $1.1 billion. You know, so we've got some onshoring going on. We've got some switching from staple to BCF fiber going on. We've got some switching from nylon to polyester going on. It's some major investments, so this is going to help the employment numbers.
Yeah, from my selfish seat, you know, we would love to see after enduring so much pain in the downturn where carpet volumes dropped to, what, a third roughly, that we could utilize those idled assets or mothballed assets on the way back up. But things change, and you mentioned a couple, the staple to continuous filament and then the growth of polyester, where some of those old assets just won't work. So as we see a recovery in volumes, these companies are having to pony up new capital. You know, in a sense, it's a good thing, right? Demand's there, units are going up, and we need equipment, and then, you know, we'll hire people. Certainly, though, from deploying existing capital, new capital, that's relatively expensive, so your returns on capital get diluted a little bit. We'd love to utilize the assets that we can that are sitting idle and run. That's the biggest return on our investment. But, you know, we'll take it. Either way, it's good to see volumes going up. Mix is improving a little bit as well. The last two quarters out of the floor covering industry are the best we've seen in, you know, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. All right. So just with that, going into details with each one of them, you know, I know it's Mohawk, it's Armstrong, you cover Interface. But are any surprises as you looked at third quarter results, anything worth calling out?
You know, it's just we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for that retail segment to improve. You know, that's where the better mix is. You know, it's the remodel repair activity. Obviously, the new build residentially has improved. And it will take those unit gains. If that percentage of the pie is 20% and we're up 20%, there's 4%, you know, growth for the industry right there. And while it's not the highest mix, we'll take it. But now we've got the retail kicking in. Commercial really hadn't improved a lot, although tile is certainly doing better than Broadloom. But that retail piece has finally kicked in the last few quarters, and I think it's tied to home prices escalating and a little better consumer tone as it relates to spending on the home. And that's what we've been waiting on. It's finally coming through. And, you know, even though it's not up high single digits, low single digits is better than negative, which we had 4 years running.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a question for you that I'm trying to keep my focus on. And when you dive into those little pieces of pie and you start talking about the retail sector, and then you start talking about, you got your independents and your regionals, okay? Now, that's on one side. On the other side, you got your home centers, your category killers, Lumber Liquidators and Empire. You got your floor and decor and your tile shop. How much is left? Is that about a 50-50 now, you think, between the independents and regionals and then these big national monsters?
Well, you know, you raise a very good question, and, you know, the data's not really good, but I talk about an example here. We all know how well Lumber Liquidators is doing. Their comparable sales gains have been, you know, growing in the mid-teens for several quarters running now. You know, they're growing new square footage at a fairly rapid pace, so they're showing 20-plus percent revenue gain, and the inference would be that they're hurting and taking share, and I think they are, from independent and home centers and what have you. And then you look at Armstrong, which is the largest manufacturer of wood flooring, and I believe their revenues year to date are up in the high teens. So it's kind of hard to see how Lumber Liquidators' share gain is really hurting in what is a rapidly rising volume environment. So right now I would say everybody's sort of winning. A little harder to delineate on the share gain. Obviously, share gains mean a whole lot more when you're on the way down. There's less of a pie to fight over. But the pie right now is expanding, so that's good for everyone, and you know, makes the infighting within all of those channels of distribution talked about a little less critical, although at some point, once we get through the cyclical rebound, that will become an issue again.
You know, we look at Dixie's performance, and it's through the roof, and you know, that's the upper end of the market. Those people in the luxury side, the affluent side, they want to be waited on, and so they're probably going to go to an independent, don't you think?
I think so. I think when you look at concepts, the tile shop compared to floor and decor, you know, there's an extreme, right? And that premium customer is the one that the Federal Reserve has helped with the stock market and home ownership. You know, they're feeling relatively good these days, and they do want that high service. They want to look. They'll pay for it. You know, there's always the DIY crowd and the contractor trade, and they're going to shop for the best value. So, you know, there's room for both, but, you know, it's certainly encouraging to see some of the higher-end traffic come back, and that's got to help the independents, everything being equal.
Okay, last question. Looking at 2014, some people are calling for a little bit of a settling down, maybe some flat line on the residential side for a little while. What do you think?
Well, I think it's predicated on the recent rise in mortgage rates and some of the slowdown we've seen, and in housing activity, particularly the construction. I'm actually reasonably constructive still on next year, and my premise is that we'll see the continued escalation in home prices. And I think that's critical to the psyche, if not the pocketbook, because we're starting to see home equity lines come back to some degree. So I really don't see much of an impact so far from the rise in mortgage rates, which, still on an absolute basis are low. The employment picture does seem to be getting a little bit better. Confidence levels, while they dipped in September and October around the government shutdown, appear to be getting better. So, that might be the wild card. If we get into another morass with the debt ceiling and debt debate next year, that could throw some cold water on my optimism. But as I sit right now, I think the backdrop's pretty good. There's latent demand in this sector that's obvious. So many homes are tired and need a facelift. People want to do it. They've just been waiting for the encouragement, both financially, psychologically, and a lot of those pieces are falling into place, and I would argue accelerating to the positive.
Yeah. Okay, great, John. It's great to get a mid-fourth quarter read from you. Again, been talking to John Ball, who's managing director with Stifel Nicolaus, and been listening to Kempar and FloridaDaily.net.
Okay. Best of holidays to everyone. Thank you.